Let's go to Brownsville, Texas now, where a court case is challenging the federal government's right to deny access to abortion. Federal authorities are holding a 17-year-old girl from Central America in immigration detention. Jane Doe, as she's come to be known, is 15 weeks pregnant and wants an abortion. But the government is denying her access to that abortion, and that's brought a lawsuit from the ACLU. On Wednesday, the D.C. Court of Appeals ordered the Trump administration to allow the teenager access to the procedure. But on Thursday, the administration appealed, and the court held up that decision. The case is raising questions about whether an undocumented immigrant like Jane Doe has a right to a procedure that the Supreme Court has said is legal. Tina Vasquez is an immigration reporter for Rewire News. She's been following the story, and she joins me now. Tina, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for having me.
Tina, walk us through the case that the ACLU has filed on behalf of Jane Doe, 17 years old.
So Jane Doe is in a shelter that's overseen by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, and that's sort of the agency that handles unaccompanied immigrant minors like Jane Doe who are migrating from Central America and hoping to reunite with family in the United States. So she has been trying to access an abortion since September 11th and received the judicial bypass that's required by the state of Texas. If you don't want to get permission or you can't get permission from your parents to access abortion, you have to go to court. She successfully received that, but ever since then, since September 11th, she's been blocked by the Office of Refugee Resettlement from being able to access abortion, and that means that they haven't allowed her to go to the clinic, and that means that they haven't transported her. They won't allow her guardian to transport her. Attorneys that I've spoken to have essentially said that she's being held hostage by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, and she's 15 weeks pregnant now, and the fear is that they're purposefully holding her as long as possible so that she gets to the 20-week mark and can't access abortion at all.
What's the Trump administration's position here?
I think there's two stances being taken. One is that Roe v. Wade doesn't apply to undocumented immigrants because undocumented immigrants don't have constitutional rights. And also Scott Lloyd, who's the director of Office of Refugee Resettlement, is basically taking the stance that he is the foster parent of unaccompanied immigrant minors that are in the care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement. And so he's essentially acting as her parent. And if he doesn't want to let her get an abortion, then he's within his rights to do that.
Well, let's talk about that first position that Jane Doe is an undocumented immigrant and therefore doesn't have constitutional rights, because the federal judge that last ruled on this week said exactly the opposite. She says Jane Doe does have constitutional rights. Roe v. Wade means that abortion is legal. Why isn't that enough to guarantee Jane Doe an access to the procedure? It's legal. The court says it has to be legal. Why can't she get it?
I think it's the Trump administration's stance that undocumented immigrants don't have constitutional rights and the administration certainly treats them as if they don't have many rights. A lot of the things that we're seeing under the Trump administration questions whether or not the children of an undocumented parents even should have citizenship. And so I think it's just their general stance that none of the things that apply to American citizens should apply to undocumented immigrants. And you see time and time again instances in which they are not treated as if they have rights. And I think this is just another example of that and like a horrible overstep, because she's done everything that she needs to do to access abortion in the state of Texas, which already places a lot of hurdles in place for a young person trying to get an abortion. And her immigration status now is just another complicated layer that's preventing her from accessing this thing that she has a right to do.
Well, what have courts said in the past then about the constitutional rights of undocumented immigrants? Abortion aside, surely they must have ruled on this issue in other areas of life.
I mean, yeah, there are court cases as to whether or not undocumented children deserve or should access K-12 education. They do, but you have states like Florida that are trying to block undocumented immigrant children from accessing public education. There are just all kinds of instances in which, you know, in North Carolina, where I live until very recently, undocumented immigrants could not enter higher education. They couldn't even go to community colleges. Just very basic things that maybe we don't consider really, or that we take for granted, undocumented immigrants have been blocked from, or there have been really huge hurdles put in place for them to access just sort of basic things like medical care, like access to education.
Medical care and access to education, but have courts ruled in the past in other areas that don't necessarily involve abortion that undocumented immigrants do indeed have constitutional rights when they're here?
I mean, there's a lot going on with that. Like, for example, whether or not we can hold undocumented immigrants indefinitely in prison, whether or in detention centers, whether or not they deserve a bail hearing, you know, or a bond hearing. When you're an American citizen, you usually get a bond hearing upon being arrested and charged within 48 hours. There are instances of undocumented immigrants being held in detention centers for years without receiving a bond hearing. And so right now, or recently, the Supreme Court heard Jennings versus Rodriguez, which will determine whether or not we can hold undocumented immigrants in detention centers, which are prisons, indefinitely without having a bond hearing. It's not that undocumented immigrants haven't been in the United States for a long time, but I feel like the United States is sort of feeling out whether or not they have constitutional protections.
Bettina, is there a broader principle that the Trump administration is trying out here? Are they hoping for a precedent of some kind that will extend beyond just this one case?
If people are having trouble understanding why the government is funneling so many resources or fixating on this particular teen, I think it's because her case will have larger implications for young people who are in shelters. I think if Scott Loy, the director of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, can basically veto her judicial bypass, he can do that to any teenager in custody. And like Jane's Due Process told me, that's the organization in Texas that's helping with Jane Doe's case, that if Scott Lloyd can veto a judicial bypass, so can a father or a husband or a governor or any authority figure. So it has larger implications, not just for undocumented immigrants, but for women and people seeking abortion in general.
Atina, how long before we're going to have a final decision in this case?
The court is hearing arguments today, and there should be we should know by the end of the day.
Tina Vasquez, immigration reporter for Rewire News. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.